Hello, and welcome to The Happiest of Hours, presented by Mox & Cox. This podcast is part of our journey to share experiences in the world where drinkers, alcohol-free folks, and the sober curious can coexist. We started our mission to create a space where everyone gets to have the same experience, regardless of what's in their glass, to show people it's okay to go out into the world, to the same events, and have the same great time.
We know how that looks different for everyone. Everyone is different. We just want to stop making it weird.
I'm Katie.
I'm Bridget.
And we're Mox & Cox. Bridget.
Hi, Katie.
Welcome, listeners,
to the happiest of hours
by Mox & Cox. I'm Katie. I'm the Mox to this duo.
I'm Bridget. I'm the Cox to this duo.
If this is your first time joining us, I am the mocktail because I don't drink anymore. I used to a lot. Now I don't.
I used to a lot.
And now I don't.
I'm Bridget. I'm still the active drinker of the group, and we wanted to show everybody in the entire world that we can still hang out and do all the same things, regardless of alcohol being in our glass or not.
We're just two gals from Wisconsin trying to make not drinking not weird.
Yeah, just stop making it weird.
Yeah. So, welcome. We're happy to have you. We're moving into our 20th episode.
Yes, this is episode 20.
Which is crazy. It's been 20 weeks.
Yeah, that's fucking bonkers.
No, that's not right. 14 weeks because we have like six in the hopper.
Yeah, but still.
But still. 14 weeks. That's insane.
20 episodes?
That's so cool.
Are you kidding? Do we get a cake at 100 like the sitcoms?
Somebody's going to send us a cake, right?
Somebody's got to give us a cake, right?
There's got to be a cake baker out here.
There's got to be a cake for 100 episodes.
Yeah. Tell us if you're a baker. We want to know.
Yeah, or a candlestick maker.
Or a butcher. We'd also take some meat on the 100th.
I'll take some candles and meat, too. We're not that picky. I mean, we're really not.
I mean. Good segue.
Was it?
Yeah. Because we're not that picky.
We're not that picky, except for Katie, who is, like, extraordinarily picky.
Except I'm not really. I do not categorize myself as a picky person, but other people do.
Yeah, I love that for you.
Yeah, I know. I love that you are completely disillusioned.
I think that's what a weird, oblivious feeling you have. I like that for you.
I know.
You don't think you're a picky person. Neat. Okay, moving right along.
Moving right along.
So speaking of the non-picky person, we like to start our episodes, especially when we remember, trying new non-alcoholic beverages. And today we are trying beer because we actually haven't tried many beers on air, but we really, really like beer. Katie really, really likes beer. And she went ahead and directed me to pick two beers for us to try today. And I did so. And when I brought them into the room to taste today, you could see the disappointment on her face.
That is not true.
When she says, oh, which was actually, you didn't even have to see that. When it starts up like that at the front end, I think that's nice because then I really know, I got it right, you know?
You're going to get something in the back end here in a minute.
Anyway, I knew right away that I had definitely nailed it. And I brought her up an IPA, which if you have not seen any of our lives or heard any of these episodes, Katie is notoriously known for saying that she doesn't like IPAs, except that she loves them in non-alcoholic form.
Which is so weird.
Which is super weird. But she has one in particular that she super loves, and she talks about it on every episode, is the Sam Adams Juicy,
Just the Haze Juicy IPA.
So that was why I didn't pick that one.
Because you guys already know.
That she loves it.
I know.
But she's...
See, I am a little disappointed. But you know what? The good thing is that I can just go down and have one.
Yeah,
I could have one anytime. I could put it in my cup holder and have it on the way home.
Okay.
Love it.
Okay,
it's so
I'm a
good.
Little disappointed.
But I'm not.
But you've been hiding it well.
I know, but I got the Athletic Brewing Free Wave, and I love Athletic Brewing Free Wave.
Yes. So,
should I go first, then?
I think you should.
I guess.
Please.
Yeah. So I am an Athletic Brewing
ambassador. So, which means I get to give you guys 20% off of anything you order from Athletic Brewing. We are major fans of Athletic Brewing Company for so many reasons. They have an amazing company, amazing mission, amazing message. Athletic Brewing was literally made for the people that don't drink for athletic reasons. It's my favorite. And obviously the rest of us sober people get to benefit from it. So they have non-alcoholic, it is the largest non-alcoholic brewing company in the country, maybe in the world. I'm not sure.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, it seems sort of like it would be in the world because I don't know of any other bigger ones. But so they have Free Wave. It's one of their, like, they have basically four pillars of their company, which is Free Wave, the Hazy IPA, Upside Dawn, which is another IPA, All Out, which
is All Out Dark is my favorite.
Yeah, the Dark is really good.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
Athletic Light, which is like a real light pilsner.
Mm-hmm. They also have
the fourth?
I think that was five.
Okay.
But anyway. I think they also have a Cerveza.
Like, yeah.
So we're talking about mainstays, right?
Yes. Like the ones that they always have.
Yep.
But then they have tens.
Yeah. No, agreed.
They have tens of others that they release throughout the year. Sours. They've got a lemon radler, a bunch of other IPAs. So reds, everything. And if you're part of their group, if they're in their subscription boxes or you're one of their members, you get to try out all the pilot programs. So I will definitely credit Athletic Brewing for keeping me sober, at least that first summer, because I was a beer drinker and to not have a good beer was going to be a problem for me, mm-hmm. but it's not because they have amazing beers.
They do. In fact, even when during your first summer, even my parents had a bunch of the Athletic Brewing beers up at the house. So when I was up there doing stuff for summer afternoons, there was plenty of Athletic to drink.
Choose from.
Yeah.
Just in case I showed up.
Just in case. No, but we love that. And I did. Mm-hmm. There was some concern that if I was drinking at all, that there wouldn't be any for you.
Just
but,
in case I showed up.
But, yeah. I thought it was worth it.
But now they have it all the time.
Yes.
Okay. So the Free Wave Hazy IPA is delicious and I'm going to try it right now. And it's cold. Oh, fuck. That's good.
Oh, it's everything, so good. Everything is cold these days. We're working really hard
We're working hard at it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Oh, it's so good.
I mean, I don't know. Athletic has really, really impressively hit the mark on non-alcoholic beer. It tastes exactly like a fully leaded beer.
I was a little nervous that I have lost my taste for all alcohol and all of that stuff because mm-hmm. people will taste stuff next to me and I'll be like, oh, that tastes exactly the same. And I'll be like, no, it tastes nothing like it. But I do feel like Athletic nailed it.
There are moments that happens, but mm-hmm. I think it happens to both of us.
And I'm totally fine with it, obviously.
Yeah. No, my favorite was we had somebody taste an Old Fashioned for the first time.
Yeah, like their one, right?
Right, their first, period. So now their standard is the non-alcoholic Old Fashioned, which I think is fabulous. I love it. They're going to be very, very disappointed when they go into a bar and order a fully leaded version. They're like, that doesn't taste like that at all. That's terrible. Right, it will be very,
it's
very
taste like liquor.
Yeah, it's going to be a very offensive taste to them.
Yeah. Anyway, the Free Wave Hazy IPA is delicious.
Especially if you like
Hazy IPAs. I really don't know that there's much difference between this and a mm-hmm. regular one.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So, what do you got over there, Bridge?
Okay, I have my favorite. This was, for me, a dry January find.
Mm-hmm.
And I was beyond excited. So I am more of a dark beer fan.
You do love the All Out.
I do. Yeah. Yes. And that was the first thing I bought that very first week of January. I bought a couple of packs of the All Out mm-hmm. from Athletic to take to some events. But what I found in the second week of January is Guinness Zero. And it is magical. It's the exact same can. It even has the ball in it. And you even pour it the exact same way.
Is the can blue?
It is?
No. Well, this one is, but I don't think the regular one is.
No.
Yeah.
No, sorry. It looks exactly the same, like, design. It's a pint.
Oh, yeah. Exactly the same, except for the blue.
Except for the blue.
Which you do sort of want some differentiation.
Yeah, so you don't make a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're a regular Guinness can is all gold. This one just has a little bit of gold and the rest of it is all blue. And then it has the standard black pint can. And it has a ball in it so that it, you know, when you dump it.
It pours the same.
It pours the same. And so, you know, if you've ever watched a Guinness pour, then you know what that looks like. So without further ado, here I go.
Oh, you hear the glugging.
There's nothing cooler than a Guinness pour. Truly.
So messy. As she licks the side of the can.
I did not spill a single drop of that.
No, I'm glad because it was real close to your computer. Tell us about the Guinness
anyway,
Zero.
Anyway, it was another perfect pour.
Oh, look at that pretty thing.
I know.
Yeah, it's a really cool color and it's got all the same.
It looks exactly like every Guinness I've ever had.
I think you could do a black and tan with that.
I'm sure you could.
Isn't it with an IPA? Isn't the black and tan with an IPA?
Totally could.
Well, a black and tan, that'll be cool. Okay, yeah. Moving on.
Can I taste it?
Oh, sure. You haven't gotten that far yet?
No. So now I'm going to taste it. Now that I'm going to, it's so pretty.
Oh, nice mustache.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Oh, it smells good.
Yeah.
It smells a little bit like feet.
Oh, which is what you like in your beer. You don't like it.
I mean, I'm not a Guinness. I wasn't a Guinness fan. I don't know. Do you think it tastes like a Guinness?
Pretty close.
Pretty close. I feel like Guinness has a little bit more coffee flavor than that one does.
Oh, I don't.
No?
No.
Okay. I stand corrected. I was never a Guinness drinker, so that one doesn't do it for me. However, I was never an IPA drinker either. So.
There's still time.
I was a strictly Spotted Cow drinker.
There's still time.
Period.
Period. You can like all these beers.
Oh, it's so true.
Yeah.
And I will.
Yeah. I think there's a place for all of them. And I think like the darks, there's a time and a place. It isn't like noon in July.
Right. It's more like, you know, 7 o'clock in February.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Or maybe March 17th.
Totally March 17th.
Yeah.
Which I did.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's no secret that if you want me to stay at your bar longer, you should have some NA beer. And I drink a lot of NA beer. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm totally fine like pounding four or five of them. That does not bother me. I guess there's probably some question around that, right? Mm-hmm. Especially if you're still a drinker, people are like, why would you have more than one?
I don't understand
the
question.
Like the waitress at the one place.
Yeah, I don't understand the question. Like,
that's because you're not a normal drinker.
No, I mean, I don't, like, why would you have more than one non-alcoholic beer, right? Like, I have the same question, like, I also know people that drink 75 Diet Cokes at lunch.
Right. But I think that it's like more of an acceptable question.
Yeah. I just don't, that doesn't make sense to me.
Right. But I would say that like, if somebody's asking that question, they're wondering why you would continue to drink it if you're not getting the buzzed feeling off of it.
Yeah.
But it's because I love the taste.
Well, no, totally. But I mean,
50-50 though. I love the taste, but I also like the inclusivity it gives me.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I like that part.
But I think but my point is, like, I think the same thing, even if it's not widely understood, like, if you're sitting at a table and everybody else still has another drink.
Right.
Why wouldn't you ask if, like, you know what I mean? Because, like, just like if somebody was drinking a Diet Coke, you're going to come back and refill their Diet Coke.
But it's way more acceptable to refill the
right.
Diet Coke.
So, like,
for
I don't understand.
I know.
Like,
we don't understand.
It doesn't make sense to me.
I know.
Like, there's just complete, like, lack of logic. Yes. There's
also lack of logic.
There's just a complete lack of logic to me in terms of, well, why would you
maybe
want another
it's easier?
One? I don't know. I'm fucking thirsty.
Yeah. Or I just, you know, like, also don't worry about what's in my glass.
Also, mind
you know,
your business.
Like, those, yeah. That's always our number one thing is to like just mind your fucking business and don't worry about what's in my glass. But if we have to address it, number two, we're wondering why. I actually had this conversation and I think we talked about this a long time ago that And this came up the other night that somebody was at one of our events, tried a Guinness Zero.
Yeah.
Liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And then asked, like, I think really genuinely out of curiosity, like, this is fine, but what about the buzz? Right? Like, there, it, like, it's fine to have, like, all of these options.
Sure.
But what
what's the point?
Like, what if you, like, I want the buzz? Totally acceptable question, mm-hmm. right? Like, there is, which I guess we don't talk about a lot. Like, there is about, like, there's a feeling, of course, that you're missing from the non-alcoholic mm-hmm. part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that, right? Like, the feeling is why I drank. And we talked about this early on. Like, it's hard to, for me anymore, it's hard to remember or care about the buzz anymore. So I don't even think about it. I just think it's nice to have something that tastes similar, something that like puts you in a more comfortable social situation. But obviously, yes, you are going to miss the buzz if you're doing, like if you're drinking these, you are missing the buzz. Like right. That's the point.
Yeah. Because a lot of people have a lot of different reasons why they needed that buzz or wanted that buzz or sought that buzz out.
For sure. And there's nothing wrong with, if you don't feel bad about the buzz, there's nothing wrong with like drinking for the buzz. I get it. I totally get it.
Yep.
There's just, if you're in the population that sort of feels bad about the buzz, then there's other options that don't produce the buzz.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of reasons to drink for the buzz, right? Like,
so how would you answer this guy's question?
I think the same way I just answered it. Like, if you want the buzz, drink the regular beer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't just have to drink NA beer just to like, just for the sake of drinking.
Just to fit in.
Well, just to fit in with me. You don't have to drink the NA beer. That's funny. It's such an opposite feeling of it. I don't know. Like, I guess I like drink for the buzz then. Like, have the regular Guinness. If you want the buzz.
Right. If you're still actively in that world and you don't have an issue.
Like, I want to get away from the if you don't have an issue kind of conversation, because you don't have to have an issue. But if you like, if there's no reason to drink the NA, you don't have to drink that. I don't know. It was such a weird, am I saying this right? Like, we have had this conversation. I think you said to me, like, I think you're forgetting about the feeling that people yep. are missing from this.
Yep.
And I think I do. Yep. I think that is absolutely true. I just forget that's
a part of it for these people.
That's a part of it for a lot of people.
Right.
And I just, like, the buzz is what I wanted to get rid of.
Right.
For me. Right. Like, the buzz is what created the mm-hmm. issue for me mm-hmm. because it then created the hangovers. And it wasn't just the buzz. It was the continuing to drink after, like, the nice little cute buzz. Like the nice, little cute the bumblebee nice little turns cute into like a murdering buzz. Hornet.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Right.
That'll happen.
So I think it's something that we don't talk about very often, that there's it's lovely to have all of these options, mm-hmm. but you're right that they don't produce the buzz.
Right.
So it's not like, hey, this is the exact same thing.
Uh-huh.
It's nice that it looks the same and it talks and walks the same, but it doesn't give you the buzz.
Right. I do think that there is probably for people who no longer drink, they totally forget about why people do.
100%. It's like, I am one of them, like, for sure.
Which is great, right?
Until it makes me an asshole.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
you'll have that though.
Until it makes people like just sort of like naive again.
Yeah.
Or ignorant, I guess. Yep. Ignorant is maybe a better word for it. Because I right. do forget
that. But a perfect example of ignorance is bliss.
I mean, it is pretty blissful.
Yeah.
Right. But I do forget. And I can get on my soapbox for sure. I mean, I don't.
Go on.
I don't necessarily intend to. It's not like it's not ill-intentioned. But I do forget that people like the buzz, can totally handle a buzz. Mm-hmm. It never disrupts their life. It never disrupts the... However, I have never been that way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still shocking to me that people can do that. But it's the people that have that niggling feeling of, I don't know if this is still right for me, and have some questions around it that I would like to reach.
Sure.
The rest of you are fine. I don't know. Like,
the rest of you, I don't care about.
I mean, I do, but like, go about your business. Like, go ahead, get your buzz. I don't care. I really don't. I just think that there's...
There's probably some people that this reaches that may be, for lack of a better term, questioning. Mm-hmm. And I think that helpful tips about this and showing them products is a good... It allows them to sort of know that there are options out there. And
yeah, what I'm not trying to do is shame people into just like feeling like they have to try an NA.
Right. Yeah. If you don't want to, you do not have to.
I don't care. Like,
right.
I mean, you don't have to.
Well, because your goal is not to make the whole world not drink.
Absolutely not. I like,
you couldn't possibly be trying to.
I really don't want to. I had a conversation with somebody the other day that was like, oh, my partner's quit drinking 2 years ago because he just felt bad about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, he's my people.
Right.
Like, I was feeling bad. Like, I felt bad about it. If you don't feel bad about it, buzz away, man. Like, I don't care. It's when it's sort of when you cross that line into feeling like that shame or that guilt or that anxiety around it. Those are the people that I'm trying to help.
Lots of people have lots of reasons on lots of days why they can't or shouldn't.
Yeah.
Those are all your people. Those are all our people.
Yes. The people like me, though, are the ones that I'm really like, it's okay to come to me if you want to talk about that part of it. If you are pregnant or you don't want to drink on a Tuesday or, you know, whatever, you can still, well, like, we're still your people.
Yeah,
then Bridget's your person. No. I'm still all those. I would like to be there and be a resource for all of them, but it's the people that feel ashamed or bad about it. And it's sort of a secret because they don't feel like they have anybody to go to. That's who I want to hug.
Aww. Aww. I think
it's not that the other people aren't good enough.
This is going to be a weird segue, but not really. But there was a Washington Post article in their opinion section this week that was not that dissimilar from one in the New York Times that we read a couple of weeks ago. But they have their own, like advice column. Hi,
Carolyn. Just give you like a TV timeout here for 1 second.
Yeah.
Because the fact that these are in Washington Post and New York Times and on, what was the Elvis Duran? Like the fact that this stuff is actually a conversation happening in these huge places is such a testament to where we are going.
Yeah, no, it's great. Just having the conversation and having these huge platforms. Huge. We didn't have this a year ago.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
Yeah. I mean, we arguably didn't have it in December, but,
right.
but it is really great. And if you go back, we had a conversation a few episodes ago about the New York Times, and I think it was right on the heels of a professional golfer having a similar, non-drinking issue story, whatever. But the New York Times handled it poorly.
At best.
It was terrible. It was very, very terrible. The Washington Post, does a bit better, I will say.
Yeah.
But here we go. So, hi, Carolyn. I got sober a couple of years ago because of a medication I was taking. I had to take it for 3 months, and in that time, I realized that I loved this new non-drinking me. Lots of health problems disappeared. I was sleeping better, had more energy, etc. So I kept going after the 3 months were up. My primary friend group contains drinkers with a capital D. And I get it. I used to be that too. Now I don't go to as many gatherings, but I go to some and I bring my seltzers and hang out and laugh with everyone. I honestly don't notice the alcohol. I don't judge them or condemn them. I used to be one of them. My issue is as follows. Sometimes a friend will pull me aside in a group and tell me that they really admire me for being sober. I remain very neutral every time this happens. I don't preach because I don't preach or make a big deal of it. There's ones who bring it, they're the ones who bring it up. But they always end the convo with, "It's great that you could do it. I never could, but good for you." It just kind of stings. Not that I want everyone to be sober. I don't. But why even tell me these things? I'm not out there fishing for compliments, and especially not backhanded ones. It makes me feel so alone. This happens to me regularly. One good thing about my sobriety is that it really mellowed me out and made me not very reactionary. So that's cool. I know I'll never snap when this happens, but it's sort of driving me crazy inside. Signed, good for you, not for me. Which, that's really funny in and of itself, because Katie uses that phrase when this happens in instances that we're in.
We had an entire
episode about this, mm-hmm. which was like they heard us and then wrote about it.
Maybe it was me.
Maybe.
It wasn't.
It was like you contacted the Washington Post.
Yeah.
Weird. So that starts the conversation. And the advice from the Washington Post says, eh. And that is how it started, which, don't do that.
Let me
tell you why your problem is not important. So, dear good for you, not for me. They're talking about themselves, not you. I realize the effect is to feel as if they're othering you, and it's not a warm and fuzzy moment. I won't minimize that. Spoiler, you just did.
Yeah, actually, you just did.
But a drinker with a capital D who feels the need to say out loud that you are only able to stop because you are different is a cap D drinker who is processing their own stuff. Or, I should say, someone in the early deny and deflect stage of processing stuff. Regardless, I hope you say out loud, calmly, that it really bugs you when people say that. Wouldn't you let your friends know just like that if they were harping on some other point that got on your nerves? No need to tiptoe just because it's about alcohol. You can also say volumes just with sympathy. Yeah, I used to think that too. I found that fascinating. It is the same conversation that we have found ourselves in more times than we can count.
Mm-hmm.
And the good for you, not for me thing is one of the biggest.
Well, a couple of things about that article. One, the, you know, invalidating the concern at the beginning with the fuck you. Also, the in the article, it says calmly,
mm-hmm.
which nothing pisses people off more and makes them not calm than for somebody to say calm down. Like, what the fuck? But also, it's like the guy or Carolyn or whoever it is that responds to this is like assuming that this girl is going to go off the fucking deep end when she says something. She's like, he's like, oh, calmly, please respond.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, are the capital D drinkers going to like lose their shit because you're like, hey, please don't point that out that like,
yeah,
I'm
it's such
alone.
A weird, again, it's like, good for you, not for me, is a compliment.
Yep.
Ish.
Mox and Cox.
See, everybody should just say Mox and Cox.
Cheers. I mean, because it is tough. You are othering them. You are pointing them out is some sort of oddity in the world.
Right, because
and we don't have to, but I do think that Carolyn is right to an extent. Most
is
of the
Carolyn the writer or Carolyn's the responder?
Carolyn's the responder.
Oh yeah, good so, for you, not for me. As the writer,
is the writer. Yeah. Okay. So I do think that Carolyn is right to an extent because I do think that most of the people who are bringing it up to you, they're doing it because they have their own questions or they want, you know, they're looking to confirm something for them. Like, okay, you did this because of this, or you didn't do this because of this, you know, just trying to figure it out. Because at the end of the day, people are pretty much about themselves.
Oh, yeah. And I
and
also
so they're
think
just trying to relate whatever you're doing to them.
Yes. Also, if you're asking out of curiosity, mm-hmm. which many people do.
Yes.
It's not good for you, not for me. The curiosity part is legit. Lots of people, right? Like they just want to know.
They just want to know. Like they want to know why. They want to know because. Yeah. But a lot of the curiosity is completely selfish curiosity.
Totally fine,
and that's But that makes sense.
But
so
you
they
can
are
tell
really,
the difference between somebody who is just curious,
yeah,
and somebody who's either trying to compare themselves to see if they should be like
worried
or questioning their own intake, or in a, like I feel like you need some empathy for these people that are asking, because also it could be that they don't have anybody else to talk to and they could really feel like I could never do that.
I think that's true.
The last time we had this conversation, we did end up with empathy.
I still think we do.
It sort of pissed us off at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then we ended it with,
it was
actually
a real journey.
Yeah.
But
Sames.
It still is. But I do think that people are inherently very self-focused.
About everything.
Yeah. And so every conversation about this is, of course, about them.
It is never to make that other person to feel like someone else.
It is almost exclusively about them. And it, whatever their reason is for asking, whatever their curiosity is, it is completely about them. It doesn't even have to be as deep as, well, they're only asking me because they're worried about their own drinking. They're trying to rack and stack in their own mind everything about them, because in every goddamn conversation on the face of the planet, everybody is literally just waiting for the next thing that they get to say. So
nobody's actually listening.
No, I mean, they are, but only with... Right.
What'd you say?
They totally are, but like they're only doing it because that's human.
Right, to collect information for the next thing that they're going to say.
Yes. And so, yes, while it does appear as though I'm very curious about this,
no.
I am very curious about this, but truly only as it relates to me.
Yeah, and how it fits into my life.
Yes.
And I think if we just say that, if we're just real about that for everything, it's one thing. The conversation around drinking is still weird. It's still not as acceptable as to talk about why you're not eating sugar, or why you're not eating carbs or drinking carbs, mm-hmm. or why you took out gluten or whatever. I mean, it's just not the same conversation.
I agree. No, moral of the story is I'm super glad that these are in all of these mainstream media entities. Like that makes me really, really happy that there is giant platforms that are talking about this at all.
I'm not saying that we're smarter than everybody.
I'm not saying it either. I wish that the advice was this was better than the New York Times, significantly.
Yeah.
It just still isn't quite where
I want it. How would you answer that, Caroline?
Okay. I mean, probably without all of the condescending remarks
calmly
in it.
Calmly and
Right. I would have removed the and removed the calmly and probably, yes, explained in the same way. It totally is about them and not about you.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it better. It doesn't make it okay. It doesn't make it more comfortable. But it isn't about you. And in the same way that we're talking about how everybody's internalizing everything for themselves, so is this guy.
Yeah, for sure.
Like
who we assume is a dude.
Right.
He's not. It's Caroline.
Yeah. Well, no, Carolyn's the responder. I don't know if the good for you, not for me is a guy or a girl. I'm calling him a guy. Anyway, no, I think I would remove all of the condescending bullshit out of it and point out again, it really is about them. In the same way that his whole thing is about his feelings, every single person's response in the fucking world is about themselves.
Yeah, in the same way that when you're in a group like that, we've talked about this a number of times. Part of the reason that this is so hard to do when you quit drinking, or you take a break, or you decide you're not drinking that night, is because it's going against the tribe.
Right. And you've changed something that has been the status quo.
Right. If you buck tradition, if you change the rules, if you just, it just creates a situation where you feel like you're on the outside of a tribe.
Right.
And human nature is just to be included.
Right.
So it just, it's not a, if you can just get back to that, that's really hard in the first few days, weeks, months. I mean, I've had a lot of self-awareness and a lot of clarity, and I've done a lot of work on this. So that stuff just doesn't resonate with me anymore. Like, nobody says anything to me anymore about it.
Right.
Because I've gotten to a point now that if somebody asks me anything about it, I'm like, yeah, cool. Like, we can talk about it. It's fine. Like, I'm confident about the conversation.
In terms of like their friend group and the altering of that, that happens.
And it does. I was just reading a journal entry not too long ago of mine that was like in the early days. And I literally wrote down, my fear of losing friendships came to fruition.
Right. And that's part of it. And
it's but that's
part of life.
It is part of life. It's just easier to blame it on this.
Right.
Rather than just like, hey, we've grown apart.
Right.
Or our lives have just taken different turns or whatever. I mean, immediately, even still, I'm like, well, those people don't think I'm fun anymore, so I don't get invited places.
Right.
Like, even though that might not be true, and it's a story I've made up in my head, and even though that might not be the reason, and even though we've probably just grown apart, and even though, and even though, and even though, it still feels like me quitting drinking is somehow to blame for that.
Right.
And that is just, I mean, it's not true. I don't think it's true.
It could be. But all of the feelings are yours, and that you internalize from the outside world how it feels to you, how it impacts you.
And because it's not talked about very often, and those feelings aren't necessarily discussed with other people. Mm-hmm. And even if I went to a family member or a friend or whatever and said, hey, this is the reason I think it is that we don't talk anymore, they would deny it. Because it's it may not be the truth. It may just be the story. But
it could
even
just
if
be
it
a
is,
byproduct.
It could just be a byproduct. Like, there's so many stories. However, it's really hard not to think about it that way.
Completely. I mean, I think the main thing about it is it probably is at some part, even if folks didn't want to admit it, the symptom that led to.
Yeah.
So like, it very well may be like, of course I didn't stop being friends with you because you didn't drink, but I probably didn't think of you when I put together this.
Yeah.
Or I didn't think of you when we planned this.
Now, at the same time, that person or those people could be saying the same thing about me.
Right.
Right? Like, they could be making up stories about how I feel when I get invited places, right?
Yep.
That I don't want to be invited places because there's drinking around there. Or, you know, like, we all make up stories, right?
Yep.
I just think that this is a... It's different than quitting sugar. It's different than giving up gluten.
It's different than when, you know, oh, you don't eat mayonnaise? Why?
Did you have a problem?
Did you have a problem?
Right. It's just different. And the conversation is just not in the mainstream.
It's different for a whole host of reasons, which we've gone over time and time again. But
and we'll continue to.
And continue because it's actually
it's the same.
It's actually worth still highlighting. Because there are 552 billion different reasons on any given day as to why you aren't drinking that day. And it doesn't have to be because there was a certain problem or somebody hit rock bottom or... You know, it could just be the Tuesday or a Monday or you're driving or you don't feel like it or, I don't know, you don't like the taste. It could be anything.
Right.
But for some reason, that is a far less acceptable thing to quit without having an explanation for.
Right. Like, can't you just do one line of cocaine?
Right. Like,
can't you just have
nine
one?
Of anything's a lot. Like, it's just, it is just a very odd thing that in... this, you know, society where like that's the weird thing to quit.
Yeah.
Like you can't just not drink without it being a thing. Like, stop making it so weird.
Right. Again, number one is this is nobody's business. But because we're not quite there yet, we're going to talk about two on down to 500,000 right. reasons that we're still talking about this.
But stop, yeah, just stop making it weird. It isn't that hard to just mind your business, but given that, it appears to be impossible. But I mean, and that's probably my own internal thing, right? Like, I've never cared about it. So then I assume
that is probably your internal thing, right? Because so people do care,
right? Like, I've never cared about whether or not you were drinking or not,
right?
So it's hard for me to understand why other people do.
Yeah, and it's sort of like it's hard for me to realize that, like, oh, people still do want the buzz; they don't just want the taste.
Because as we go through this, everything really is about themselves. Everybody, like everything, it's all internal.
This is why we love to talk on this podcast so much, because it really is about us. We don't have any feedback. We just talk and know that we're right until somebody sends us a DM and says we're wrong.
We are right, though. We are.
About this.
We even agree with the Washington Post. We just agree that it doesn't have to be as douchey.
Which is, I think, how we called the capital D people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, that's how I read it.
Also douchey.
Don't be a douche.
Yeah. Don't be a douche. Max and Cox.
Max and Cox.
Max and Cox. All right. I think we've beat that horse for today. We'll get back on it by next week.
Can I read something?
Yes, of course. Hurry.
Because I love it when somebody sends stuff like this.
Is this gonna relate to this one too?
Well,
I bet it is.
It's gonna relate to this one a little bit, and also the beers that we had.
Oh, go.
Okay, this came from a very dear friend of ours. On Saturday, they went to a bar restaurant that has many, many, many beers on tap. Is that right?
I've never been to one. It's a regular bar and restaurant. It's full bar.
Full bar, but don't they have like a ton of beers on tap?
They have a ton of beers on tap. They have full bar, like alcohol, everything.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, we're not giving these people any kind of excuse, but anyway, I asked about what NA beers they had, and she looked at me and said, "Does it matter?"
Oof.
Duh. Oof. Duh. I, in my sassy way, said, "Yes, it does." They proceeded not to have any option, and it was all out disappointing. It was a bit triggering for me and made me think there's still so much education to do.
Every day we have education to do, because this is just so gross to me. And also, why wouldn't you want to make a sale? Like, people who work at a bar and restaurant.
Well,
like,
this was probably not the owner.
No. But like, you want tips.
I'm guessing she didn't get tipped.
You're a service industry employee. Like, that's like, you're looking for that. But how hard is it to not just say something stupid like that?
Apparently pretty hard. Well, here's the other thing. Water is free. Right? Yes. When you go to a restaurant and you ask for a water, it's free.
Yes.
Right? You get water for free. If you had a non-alcoholic beverage, wouldn't you make $4 instead of $0?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing that person would have probably two, because the other person is going to continue to drink alcohol.
Right.
Maybe five, like I have sometimes. So
it is how we get you to stay longer.
It is. And I will continue to drink them. It does not bother me at all. I will drop $25 on NA beer in 2 seconds. As a bar owner myself, doesn't it make sense to have whatever option they have that they're willing to pay for? No matter what it is? I don't know. Tell me. You're also a bar manager.
If my staff...
I mean, I'm pretty sure my staff knows better here. If you're listening, you don't know better.
Mine does.
I mean, they better.
They do. I mean, it's...
I feel like I might send this place a little bit of a message and say, hey, just to let you know, this is what happened.
Do you want to send it from Mox and Cox? Like, send it to their Instagram?
Sure.
And then be like, hey, we would love to come in and educate you on how to not be a dick.
With a capital D.
With a capital D. I mean, it isn't that hard.
Well, here's the other thing, is I think that there's still places out there that are not thrilled with it.
I don't care.
Yeah, well, I don't care either, but I don't get, I also don't get that.
I also why do you care?
Why are we like a lesser class?
You know what's funny about that? And I actually,
oh, I can't wait because you are fired up. I can see it in your eyes. I love this shit because you get so much more mad about it than I do.
Well, I am bothered by it. I do. That's true. I do get far more offended on your behalf when this shit happens at places. But
that's why I feel so loved.
But I do. Good. But I do think it's super odd. Because this was an internal thing too. So if you're on a business trip anywhere in the country and you're often alone, like for dinner or stuff like that, I have absolutely no problem going to have dinner at the bar or, you know, by yourself. That's super standard, especially when you're traveling, to go and have dinner by yourself. Almost every time you go to the bar to have dinner by yourself, you somehow feel obligated to order a drink. And like that's a feeling that even I have been like, because it could be like a Tuesday or Wednesday night and you're going to have dinner by yourself and you're like, I actually don't really want a drink, but I'm sitting at the bar. Like, is it weird if I just get a Diet Coke or just get a...
Oh, I see what you're saying. Because it's like, don't take a space at the bar if you're not going to pay for
a drink. Right. Despite the fact that I'm ordering food and that tips far higher than drinks. Far higher.
Right. But let's say you just wanted to go out and like, I wanted to go out and like sit and watch a game somewhere.
Right.
Can I just order water and just sit there and watch a game?
I mean... No, you can't just sit and pay nothing to sit at their bar, probably. But
if they don't have anything non-alcoholic?
Well, are you ordering something to pay?
Why?
Because I think that even in gas stations, you have to buy something to use the bathroom.
That's true.
So I think in order to use their electricity and their facilities, you have to buy something.
But then you should have something available.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I do think it's interesting because even I have on occasion drank when I didn't want to just because you feel obligated at the bar.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, because there's always going to be those instances, why wouldn't you make it more comfortable for people to buy something from you? Like
anything.
Because most of these places, it costs the same anyway. Like a non-alcoholic beer costs as much as an alcohol, oftentimes more.
Right. So, and the markup isn't nearly as good.
Right. So why wouldn't you want to make the money off of it?
Why do they make
it so weird?
Well, especially that lady. Listen, lady.
That has happened to us twice, though.
I think from the same person I've gotten.
No. This has happened to us twice in events where we are, you know, making mocktails or having a tasting and people will respond, well, why would I do that? Like we had one a few weeks ago where you were doing something and I was by myself, like still setting something up. And some guy came up and was like, oh, this will be great. You know, I have to go to, you know, some conferences with my kids later. I could definitely use a cocktail first. And I was like, ooh, just so you know,
you're going to be
disappointed. This is all non-alcoholic bourbon in these. And he's like, well, what's the point of that then? And walked away. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I didn't really get a chance to kind of give the sales pitch as to why we were doing it for these people, but
he was not going to be receptive,
but he wasn't really going to be into
it. Totally fine. Again, fine.
And that's totally fine because these people are looking for something that isn't provided in a non-alcoholic beverage. But like there is still a delivery that we can all work on in terms of your words, your tone, and your attitude. Like making me feel like a piece of shit for not having the alcohol to give you.
Right.
That'd be okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that'd be fine.
I feel like it'd be fine.
You don't have to be a dick to me just because like I didn't bring you booze. Right. Yeah. No.
What's the fucking point of that?
What's the fucking point of that? I don't know. Get the fuck out of here. Go see your snot-nosed kids. I hope they're doing terrible in school.
So angry. It's one of my favorite things about this is that I just never get this angry about this and you just go to fucking DEFCON 1.
To be clear, I don't actually think or hope that their children are doing poorly in school.
Actually,
I do.
And I hope you had bourbon on the way.
And he got pulled over.
Oh, I knew that was coming. I didn't know that was coming.
Wow, you like you did the before I even got the sentence out. Jesus yeah. Christ.
Yep, I knew that was coming.
Anyway,
this was lovely.
Yes, and we can get into. We'll continue this conversation until our dying
day.
Well,
for 9 more years.
Yeah. Nine years.
9.5 years.
9 years, 5 months.
14 days.
14 days and 20 hours.
That's actually exactly right.
It's pretty close. It's actually pretty close.
We've given ourselves a 10-year limit for Mox and Cox before we're going to buy a yacht.
And
sail away
with
Bridget. You got 10 years.
10 years. We're doing
10
it.
10 years.
Oh, anyway, we have another really exciting event coming up this weekend. Mm-hmm. We're very, very excited about it. We're working with Deliciouser. We've got
give you an update on that.
Yeah, we're going to do our shake off, which I'm super excited about. Have some really fantastic rims on our cocktails with spices from the Deliciouser, and I cannot wait to tell you how that goes next week. We both can't, but I think that's it for us this week.
I know. It was a good one.
That was.
Yeah, that was fun. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. And if
fired,
not,
fired up and ready to go. Get out there. Get out there, Jax.
Get out there.
Get out
there. Tell them, no, thank you.
Tell them what's for.
Oh, maybe we should come up with a list of responses when douchey bartenders say stuff.
Sounds like a good episode for 21.
It sounds like a carousel.
Yeah. Oh, you
here,
do love
here's
it.
Some
you
snarky do love, responses.
You do love a good carousel, and I bet I that one would be a really big hit. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. See you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.